I'm trying not to keep you long this morning, but I do want to bring you a message from God's Word. Turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Inside your bulletin, there's an outline that you'll find. Grace Notes. We're in a series, a Christmas series that I've entitled, Behold the Lamb of God. We've seen the promise of the Lamb, the preparation of the Lamb, and the provision of the Lamb. In today's message, we're going to talk about the praise of the Lamb. In our text for this morning, the Lamb of God has entered the world. God stepped out of eternity and into human history. The Lamb was promised, He was prepared, and He has been provided. Today we're going to examine an event that takes place in Jerusalem 40 days after Jesus was born. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. We see in this passage that when Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised according to the law. And after 40 days, Mary had reached the end of her purification period. You can read about that, by the way, in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. We won't take the time to read it, but it's in Leviticus 12, 1 through 4. The purification period for a woman after she had given birth. After her purification, Mary and Joseph go to the temple to have Jesus presented to the Lord, which was also according to the law. The firstborn had to be presented to the Lord in dedication. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. So while they're in the temple to present Jesus to the Lord, a very special event occurs. 2 aged saints of God, Simeon and Anna, were there by the leading of the Lord. Simeon and Anna were part of a faithful Jewish remnant who had been looking for the appearance of the Messiah. And when they met Jesus that day, even though he was only a 40-day-old infant, they were overjoyed and offered up praises to God. There's some important lessons I think we can look at in this passage. I want you to notice 3 things real quick. Number one, the motive for praise. The motive for praise. As Simeon takes the Lord Jesus Christ up in his arms, he offers a twofold motive for praising the Lord that is just as valid today as it was back then. I want you to notice that he offered praise, first of all, because of who had appeared. Who had appeared? It's interesting, the name Simeon, this is the only time this man is found in the scriptures. It's the only occurrence of him. His name means he who hears. He who hears. Apparently, this dear saint of God had been hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you notice verse 26, it says, It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The word Christ there means the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's anointed one. God had revealed to this man, Simeon, through the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. When Simeon sees Jesus, he is told by the Spirit of God that this child is him. This child is the Messiah. And Simeon begins to praise the Lord because of who had entered the world. Just who is this baby? Well, look at verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon understood who he was. But sadly, many others had no idea. Think about it. The priest who had circumcised Jesus at 8 days old, he had absolutely no idea. The people who lived in Bethlehem had absolutely no idea. Those who were others who were serving the temple had absolutely no idea. And friends, it's sad that there are many people alive today who have absolutely no idea who Jesus is. Who is he? Well, let me tell you something. He is God in human flesh. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, part A says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest or appeared in the flesh. We call that the incarnation. The Lamb of God, he was slain before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8 tells us. And he, by the way, he is the only savior of sinners. My friend, I want to tell you something. The only way you and I can ever be saved is through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus didn't say he was just a way or even the best way. He said he was the only way. And I know today that's not a popular thing in our culture. But let me tell you something. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friends, that's why Jesus came into the world, to save us. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He came to save you and me. He came to save us from our sins. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And Simeon is filled with joy because the promised one has appeared. Mine eyes have seen your salvation. He knew who Jesus was. The question that remains is, do you? Do you know who Jesus is? And if you do, then you can praise him just like Simeon did. Not only did Simeon praise him, give praise because of who had appeared, but secondly, he gave praise because of why he had arrived. In verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. In this passage, Simeon speaks of a stone, a sign, and a sword. The phrase, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In Psalm 118, verses 21 through 23, the psalmist said, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Many in Israel would stumble and fall over the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who believed on him would rise again in salvation. What I want you to see is this, that Jesus is the stone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or ashamed. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I think it's amazing the spiritual insight this Simeon had. Not only to recognize that this one that he was holding in his arms, this baby who had come to be dedicated in the temple, was the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, the salvation that he had been waiting to see. But he also recognized that this is the stone. The same thing that Daniel saw, the stone cut without hands that smites the image of the restored Babylon on its feet and destroys it. He's also the judgment stone in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 44. Jesus said, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." You see, Jesus is the stone. Instead of receiving Christ as the gift and the revelation of God, though his enemies attacked him and ultimately crucified him, they ridiculed his birth. They attributed his miracles to the work of the devil. They mocked him when he died, and they refused to believe in the resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15, we find that the guard who were there at the tomb were offered money to lie and say that some people stole the body instead of him being resurrected. When Paul preached in Athens in Acts chapter 17, those in Athens mocked him concerning the resurrection of Christ. In verse 32, when they had heard of the resurrection of Christ, they mocked. Even today, many people deny and refuse to believe in our loving Lord. But he is the stone. He's the stone which the builders rejected, but the same is made the head of the corner. But also notice that he spoke about a sign which shall be spoken against. We're told that that in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 42, people came to Jesus and said, "We would see a sign from you." And he said, "There will be no sign given to this generation except that of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." You know what the sign was? His resurrection. Jesus said, "You can kill me, but I won't stay dead. You can put me in the tomb, but on the third day, I'm going to come out of the thing. On the third day, I'm going to rip it open." Amen. So he spoke about a sign. And then he spoke about a sword. Of course, the sword was the suffering of Mary, the pain that she suffered as she watched Jesus fulfill his Father's plan. The ultimate hurt came the day she watched him dying on the cross for sinners. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And when you stop to think about who had appeared and why he arrived, you can see that Simeon had quite a motive for praising the Lord. Well, we see, number one, the motive for praise. I want you to see, number two, the method of praise. Two things I want you to understand here in verse number 28. As Simeon magnifies the name of the Lord, we can learn a little bit about how we ought to praise the Lord. Would you notice with me, first of all, it was visible. Verse 28, the Bible says he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Simeon reached out, he lifted up the baby Jesus, held him high and gave praise to God. He wasn't ashamed to visibly praise the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with visible praise. And you know, there's an expression that we use in the Bible. In Psalm 63, 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus, while I bless thee, I will lift up my hands in thy name." Psalm 119, 48, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments." Psalm 134, 2, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Psalm 141, 2, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Say, one way to visibly praise the Lord, and Baptists are afraid to do it, is to lift up your hands. And, you know, that's a way to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, David got so excited about the presence of the Lord that he danced before the Lord. Well, that will put a lot of Baptists in a lot of trouble right there. Now, we don't believe in dancing, right? But listen, the lifting up of the hands, that's a means of, what did he do? He wasn't ashamed to visibly praise the Lord. But it wasn't just visible, it was vocal. Look at verse 28 again. "And he blessed God and said," you know, he didn't let this praise just reside silently in his heart. Yeah, he not only expressed his praise visibly by picking up the Lord Jesus and lifting him up, and that's what we need to do is lift him up, but he also spoke praise to God. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. So listen, Simeon did not keep what he felt bottled up inside, but he spoke. He let it out to the glory of God. I'm just saying that the method of praise is it ought to be visible and it ought to be verbal. It ought to be vocal. We ought to give praise to God. In fact, Hebrews 13:15 says, by this let us offer the sacrifice of God, a praise to God continually. What is it? The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We need to praise God. Simeon's praise was visible and vocal, and our praise to God ought to follow the same pattern. But notice finally, number three, the ministry of praise. I want to focus just for a minute here on Anna in verses 36 through 38. As the baby Jesus was being praised publicly, several precious things took place that day. And by the way, these things still happen today as we, as God's people, take the time to praise him for who he is and what he's done. As Anna enters now this arena of praise, I want you to notice two things that happened. First of all, the Savior was exalted. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And by the way, do you think that was a coincidence that she came in at the very same exact moment? Not at all. Not at all. Apparently, this woman had been widowed for quite some time. And the Bible says she didn't depart from the temple. She actually must have had some kind of living quarters there. And she was pretty much a permanent fixture there. And she served God with fastings and prayers 9 days. So she comes in at that split moment and she gives thanks to God. It brought glory to God when he was praised there in the temple. Why? Because the focus was off of the ritual and placed on the Lord himself. Beloved, if there's one thing that we ought to be concerned about today, it's that we as people of God and we as a church lift up Jesus. I had someone ask me the other day, said, well, what's your church really about? And I said, you know, our church is really about one thing, and that's lifting up Jesus. We want to lift him up. Why? Because Jesus said in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We need to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to lift each other up. We're not here to lift a man up. We're here to lift Jesus up. Amen. Jesus, John the Baptist said of him in John chapter 3 and verse number 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Psalm 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. All right. We're here to exalt the Savior. But not only was the Savior magnified, but notice that the sinners were evangelized in verse 38. The Bible, I love this, what it says. And she spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What did Anna do when she left the temple? She went out and told others what she had seen. She spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I love how the scripture puts that. I love what David said in Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. You remember the demoniac there of Gadara who was possessed of legion, the devils, and Jesus delivered him. And when he came into the ship, he begged Jesus to stay with him. And Jesus said, no, go home to your friends and do what? Tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee and how he hath had compassion on thee. You never know what a little praise, a little testimony, and a little witness for Jesus will accomplish. God can use it to turn hearts to him. The question is, who have we told about the Lord Jesus lately? In Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, the prophet said, wherefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Listen to this. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. See, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be like Anna. We need to speak of him to those who are looking for redemption. There are people today that are looking for it. They just don't know where to find it. I'll tell you where it's not found. It's not found in religion. You see, religion is man's attempt to get to God. It's doing things, and it's our works, our human works, what we can do. But the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saves us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. I look at the law tells me that I am a lawbreaker. The law is not there to save me. The law is there to condemn me. The law is there to point out that I am a lawbreaker. But thank God there is one who took my sin. Thank God there's one who took your sin. He took your penalty upon himself. He died for the sins of the world. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 20, notice what we read here. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Just like we saw in this little kid's play. Right? When they came and they saw, they went out and told others what they had seen. When Jesus was taken to the temple at 40 days of age, he was greeted by Simeon and by Anna, who offered up their praise to him. So I wonder this morning, how are we doing in the praise department? How are we doing in the praise department? If you're saved and you're born again, you have a reason to praise God. I remind you what happened when the disciples went on a preaching tour in Luke chapter 10. And the Bible says that they went out and cast out devils and preached and so forth. They came back and they were so excited. They said to Jesus, even the devils, the demons, are subject unto us by your name. And Jesus said, in this rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You see, if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning, you've got reason to rejoice. You've got reason to offer praise to God. And so the question is today, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Has there been a time in your life when you opened your heart to Jesus Christ? For me, that took place on July 23rd, 1972. It was a Sunday just like this. It was the second service I ever attended at Faith Baptist Church. I sat in the middle of the back row, popular place. But when Brother Blackwell gave the invitation that day, it was simply a building that had just one section of pews, no side aisles, just two side aisles, one section. I sat in the very middle. I had to climb over about eight people to get to the aisle. But I came down that aisle, met the pastor, and he said, "Why have you come?" I said, "I want to be saved." And he looked at the person over my shoulder and said, "Have you come for the same reason?" I looked behind me and it was my wife. She had been a Baptist. She was baptized in a Baptist church, but she wasn't saved. See, being a Baptist doesn't save you. Getting baptized doesn't save you. Joining a church doesn't save you. The only thing that saves is Jesus. You've got to open your heart. You've got to receive him. When Simeon held Jesus up that day in his arms, he said, "Lord, now you can let me go home. Now you can let me depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." That's God's gift to you and God's gift to me. Have you received his gift? You know, a gift isn't yours till you accept it. It may be intended for you, but it's not yours until you receive it. You have to receive the gift of God. John 1:12 says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God." You want to be a child of God? There's only one way to become a child of God. You've got to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you've never done that, do that today. If you've done that, you've got a reason to praise God. Amen. Just like Simeon and just like Anna, you've got a reason to praise him. And you've also got a reason to tell others about him. You can tell him what he's done for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Before we have this invitation today, I'd like to ask this question, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody, I promise. That's not my intention at all. But I'd like to know today, if you're here and you do not know for sure that heaven's your home, by no means would I embarrass you, call you out, come to you, humiliate you in any way. I simply today would like to know of your need so that I can offer up a prayer for you. I won't mention you by name, but I would like to pray for you today. My prayer can't save you, but I'd like to pray that God would help you to have the courage to settle this thing before it's everlastingly too late. God has a wonderful gift for you. It's his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. If you don't have Jesus today, you may have physical life, but you don't have eternal life. And if you die without Jesus, you will die in your sins and be separated from him for all of eternity. That's not what God wants. God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. But you have to willingly open your heart to Him. Say, Pastor, I am not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I do know I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you remember me in prayer as you close today? I'm just asking for prayer, that's all. If that's you today, would you simply put your hand up and write back down? Let me see it just a minute that I can pray for you. Anyone like that today? Say, I am not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. I remember what it was like, that tugging of my heart that day that God spoke to me and said, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. Of course, no one had to convince me on the first part. I knew I was a sinner. I was a little bit embarrassed, afraid of what others might think. My sister was there. My brother was there. What are people going to think about me? But I was more concerned about what God thought and what God knew about me, that I needed Him. I appreciate your hands lifted today. You say, I know that I'm saved today, Pastor, but I haven't been doing as well in the praise department as I ought to have. Things have weighed me down, problems, burdens, cares, concerns. I haven't been praising God, and I haven't been telling others about Him as much as I'd like to tell others. I need God to do a work in my heart today. You're a Christian, you know the Lord, but maybe like David, you need to kind of pray, God, give me back the joy of my salvation so I can tell others about you and sinners can be converted. I need that joy in my life. I need to give God more praise. Is there a Christian like that today? Raise your hand. Let me see it just a minute. Yes, all over the building. Thank you. Father, I pray today as we have this invitation period, there were at least two hands lifted of honest individuals today said, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. And God, I pray for them. I can't make them be saved. I can't force them, and I wouldn't if I could. It has to be from their own heart. It has to be from their will. They have to desire Christ and want Him more than anything. And I pray they would come today. I pray they would put pride aside, fear aside, anything that's holding them back. Let them come today to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They can go out those doors knowing that their sins are forgiven. Their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have eternal life. They'll be with you for eternity. God, I pray that if there are others who didn't raise a hand, but they know in their heart of hearts they're not right with you, that today they'd do something about it. And I pray for Christians today. God, help us to have the joy of our salvation. Help us to just exude that, to praise you, not just visibly, but verbally and vocally. Let others know that we are the redeemed of God. Let them hear our praise. And Lord, let it be seen in our countenance. Let the joy of Jesus be seen in us. We're your people. God, you've saved us by your grace. We don't deserve it. We deserve to go to hell. Thank you for your free gift of eternal life. I pray for those today who might have other decisions. Maybe those who just want to come for prayer, for burden or concern for a friend or for a loved one. God, as we have this invitation, I pray you would use it, be glorified through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.